lie down and then you...
With this.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening once again, and welcome to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout. I hope you had a blessed week and an even better weekend. You're listening to the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. At Radio Free Readout, our goal is to inform, encourage, inspire, and equip those of you living around and through the American Readout, and those of you who are planning your move to the Mountain States. As you know, the rapidly emerging movement called the American Readout is the manifestation of a plan for liberty-loving, patriotic, God-fearing Americans to find refuge or safe haven in the states of the Inland Pacific Northwest. It's an intentional demographic shift of those like-minded folks into a geographic region to increase the chances of surviving and thriving in the troubled and difficult times coming to America in the not-too-distant future. I came flying into town and blasted into the studio and had to face the reality that I'm just not prepared to get into the topic I mentioned last week, and that's the topic of the police state and martial law. So I just wanted to get that right out there right off the bat, because I know a lot of you are waiting and anticipating that topic. And just to clear things up for my conspiracy theory friends, I'm not backing off the topic because I was visited and warned by men in black suits and dark sunglasses or anything like that. That kind of stuff never happens to me. I'm not important enough yet. And I'll let you know if anything like that ever does happen. But because of my crazy schedule this week and over the weekend, I really have a pile of research and stuff on the topic that's in such disarray, it's not even presentable. Now, remember, I told you there might be crazy weeks like that, and this is one of them. But one thing that's really important is that I want to make sure that Radio Free Readout maintains a consistent presence for all of you in the American Readout. Even if I have to fire things up just to come on the air and read a Bible verse or the Bill of Rights or a poem for 15 minutes. If that's what I have to do, then that's what I'll do. But I always want to make sure that if you take the time to listen, that I'm respectful enough to make an honest, level best effort, not to waste your time, and to at least try to bring something to you that's useful. And tonight, I hope we're able to do that. All we did was just push tonight's main topic to next week, which will make tonight's show about half the normal broadcast time. Okay, first of all, thank you so much for all of you sending in emails of support and encouragement. It really lets us know we're making a difference and that it's an inspiration to you as well. I'm not an egomaniac, but kind of like a faithful dog. I just need a pat on the head every now and then, and that keeps me going. It's just great to hear from you. And also, thanks for rating the shows on the Podbean site. You know, the 1 through 5 stars next to each episode. Just click on that to let us know how much you liked it. And see, activity attracts activity. So the more people rate the shows and leave comments, the more other people will want to add their 2 cents. They feel left out. They think, oh, everyone else is adding comments and rating the show, so I better. That creates momentum, and that's what will help keep the American Readout growing, that movement. It's sneaky, I know. But it's true. Speaking of that, thanks, Idaho Bob, for leaving your encouraging comments and for spreading the word about Radio Free Readout to your family and your friends. In the news this week, there was a lot happening, and probably more than we even have time for, but we're going to make a go of it anyway. In last week's broadcast, by far our most popular and most listened to and downloaded show to date, titled The Church, we talked about the growing movement of home churches that's sweeping the nation right now, and we asked if it would be possible that the church might have to go underground in this country one day. Well, for some folks, that one day could be now. The Alliance Defense Fund, which is a legal alliance of Christian attorneys and like-minded organizations that are defending the right of people to freely live out their faith, reported the following in Gilbert, Arizona. Alliance Defend Fund attorneys filed an appeal Wednesday with the town of Gilbert's Zoning Board of Adjustment to overturn a decision banning churches from meeting, holding Bible studies, or having any other activities in private homes. The pastor of the 7-member Oasis of Truth Church received a cease and desist order in a letter ordering him to terminate all religious meetings in his home, regardless of their size, nature, or frequency, with no complaints filed from any or the other citizens. A code enforcement officer took it upon himself to issue the order after coming across signs directing people to the pastor's home. The town contends that under its zoning code, churches within its borders cannot have any home meetings of any size, including Bible studies, 3-person church leadership meetings, and potluck dinners. This ban is defended based on traffic, parking, and building safety concerns. However, nothing in its zoning code prevents weekly Cub Scout meetings, Monday night football parties with numerous attendees, or even large business parties from being held on a regular basis in private homes. And apparently, the home church meetings in question didn't even meet regularly at one home, where they reportedly rotated to different homes weekly. Of course, the ADF contends that the city's zoning ordinance is a clear violation of the First Amendment. Pastor Sutherland stopped the home meetings in December and requested a clarification of the restrictions from the town zoning administrator the next month. The initial informal response was followed in February by a zoning interpretation letter offered at a $305 fee, confirming the alleged basis of the ban. The church currently holds its Sunday meetings at a local school where it can only meet for one weekly service due to rental costs. Okay, Pastor, you're getting a glimpse of things to come. So my advice, while the stakes are still low, is an opportunity to practice and conduct dry run underground church meetings. Practice meeting and parking at a local parking lot and shuttle everyone in a couple minivans. And then practice bailing out through the garage and into the house. Just don't forget to post a lookout. What a great training opportunity, huh? This story also was referenced in another article posted over at signsofthelastdays.com, where another church, this time in California, received an order that it must have a conditional use permit in order to continue its 15-person Bible study. Yes, folks, this is happening in America, but not in the American Redoubt. If you do hear of something like this going on in the American Redoubt, though, let us know right away and we will be all over it. The homosexual movement gained a victory in California this week in the battle for the minds and souls of the children with a piece of legislation that was signed into law on Wednesday by Governor Jerry Brown, making California the first state in the nation to add mandatory lessons of this type for social studies curriculum, where the contributions to society from homosexuals should be included. In one statement justifying the unjustifiable, the government was quoted as saying, "History should be honest." Of course, after all, honesty is a virtue, and we don't want to compromise the virtue of our children, right, Governor? Just another example of the forced acceptance of the world's standards and the coerced tolerance of something God himself doesn't even tolerate. This battle is coming, people. Remember this adage, as California goes, so goes the rest of the West. Another reason for the need of a safe haven and refuge. That story, by the way, brought to you by The Blaze and AP. In another story, the American Family Association ran a piece this week in their blog, Rightly Concerned, titled 12 Signs That the World is Running Out of Food. Of course, we're seeing increasing reports that food shortages are on the rise, and the experts are giving some pretty compelling data to back up their speculations. So store up for you and store up for others. If you can't store up for others, then at least don't be part of the problem and be a burden to others. And stocking up, do everything you can to set yourselves up to be able to produce your own food, even if it's just supplemental. It all adds up. Here's a story that requires your attention and your prayer. I was alerted by the Patriot Action Network about an upcoming event affecting Israel. the original redoubt. And that was designed by God himself as a safe haven and a refuge for his chosen people, the Jews. Now, it's my understanding this story originated out of Salisbury News, but apparently the United Nations Security Council has scheduled an open debate on the 26th of July in New York to determine whether or not they will seize Israeli land in September and then divide Jerusalem by establishing a Palestinian state without negotiation or approval from Israel. Haaretz newspaper reported last Wednesday the UN Security Council plans to discuss on July 26th the possibility of Palestine becoming a United Nations member state, the Security Council president said on Tuesday. The Arab League has said that it would request UN membership for a Palestinian state in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, with East Jerusalem as its capital at the UN General Assembly in September. The quartet of the U.S., Russia, European Union, and the United Nations were reported to have scheduled a meeting for last week on the 11th to discuss the issue, and we haven't heard any word on the outcome of that. Although the U.S. does have veto power on the council, it's troubling because President Obama has signaled that the U.S. may not veto such a land grab. As Abbas said last week on Lebanese television, quote, President Obama says he wants to see an independent Palestinian state by September. Just so happens this meeting they're going to be having to vote on that, to discuss that, will also be in September. It reminds me of a scripture. It goes like this. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's from Genesis 12:3. Talking about Israel. I've also posted a great article titled, Those Who Bless Israel Will Be Blessed, along with links to all these other stories on our resources and highlights page for week 7 on the blog for you to read more at your leisure. But I want to turn your attention to an event that ties in with that story. This comes from a loyal listener in the American Readout who forwarded it to me from a friend of theirs. And it's information for the Rally for Israel event on Tuesday the 19th in Missoula. That event will take place at 11 a.m. and it will go through about 1:30 p.m. in front of the post office. Well, here, let me just read the poster they sent. Dear patriots and friends, one of our members is a friend of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That's an amazing man. That is a leader. I really like that guy. We are going to send a letter and gather signatures of anyone who would like to sign this letter, and we'll be taking photos too. Please come and participate in this festive and historic event happening right here in Missoula. We have several speakers as well. Your presence is needed. Let's give a big shout out around the world, wear patriotic colors, and bring your posters. So thank you, Paul, out there in the American Readout for alerting us to this worthwhile event. And for the rest of you listeners out there, if you know of a Patriot or Prepper event taking place around the American Readout in your neck of the woods, shoot us an email so we can inform others. All right, just on the other side of the break, we'll be joined in the studio by Anya. She's pretty impressed with Enola Gay's recently published book, The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. We're going to get her thoughts in just a moment. So stay with us. You're listening to Radio Free Readout. We'll be right back.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Don't forget to check out the videos page found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage as well as the issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the videos so they can continue keeping us informed.
Radio Free Readout is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreereadout.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com.
Thanks for sticking around. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and you're tuned in to Radio Free Readout. In case you're just joining us late, we have a special guest with us in the studio this evening. We've been promising to do a book review for the last couple of weeks, and finally, everything lined up, we're able to make that happen. I've been mentioning Enola Gay's recently published book titled The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the author, Enola Gay, in the studio for a personal interview, but she was gracious enough to send us a copy for review. Now, we're joined tonight by Anya, a patriot, who's an alternative medicine practitioner and has a background as an amateur nutritionist as well. Most of you who are regular listeners might recognize her voice, and that's because she does many of the intros and segment break pieces that you hear on Radio Free Readout. Anya, thank you so much for being with us tonight, and welcome.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, now tell the audience a little bit about yourself first, without breaking PERSEC. That's personal information security protocol, for those of you who didn't know that.
Right, right. Well, you pretty much covered it. I've been working in the alternative medicine field for about 12 years now, and I work with a lot of clients that are dealing with the medical issues that oftentimes modern, or what I call Western medicine, just doesn't seem to be able to treat. And of course, the nutritional side of that just kind of came naturally as part of the alternative medicine field. They really go together hand in hand.
So do you mean you personally feel like modern medicine isn't effective? Or what do you mean by that?
Oh, no. Modern medicine is amazing. We can diagnose things and treat injuries and diseases that 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, would have been fatal. I mean, not necessarily modern medicine, but rather Western medicine, where we really go after the symptoms. And we do that really well, but we don't go to the root causes of a lot of these diseases. If, for instance, if you break your leg or end up with cancer, especially in America, the technology is just incredible. But I think if we focused more on the root causes, we wouldn't need the technologies in fighting cancers, cardiac disease, and a lot of other diseases nearly as much as we do today.
Good point.
And of course, that's assuming you have access to that technology. And I think that's what Enola Gay really had in mind when she wrote The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. What do you do if the medical care you need isn't available?
You mean like a EMP situation?
Sure, or any situation where there just isn't enough medical personnel or facilities to treat you, or where you're placed on a low priority patient list because the medical staff is overwhelmed with whatever, or electricity and backup power goes out. Without electricity in America, we're significantly less effective. We see examples of this in many natural disaster situations, and it doesn't even have to be a natural disaster. There are some places around the world where trained medical personnel are in huge demand and sometimes non-existent, where you're really on your own. And knowing or not knowing what to do can make the difference between living or dying for some patients.
Okay, so this isn't for replacing your doctor. It's just for when trained medical personnel aren't available, right?
Exactly. And she even put that statement on the second page right after the title page. But not only when medical personnel aren't available, it could be useful even when you have trained medical personnel, but where they're lacking the traditional medicines they're used to working with.
Okay, so what was your first overall impression of the Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases?
Well, in one word, excellent. Really well put together, very professional. I was excited to see the copy she sent to you, and as I started flipping through it, I saw things like bubonic plague, cholera, malaria, mumps, scarlet fever, smallpox, and I thought, well, nice information, but we haven't had to really deal with these diseases in this country for decades. I mean, we've pretty much eradicated these from our culture.
Right.
But then I had to keep in mind this is the Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases, with emphasis on prepared. prepared for the unexpected, prepared for Teotihuacan, when it's the end of the world as we know it, or the way we knew things to be. There's so many things that could really turn our expectations upside down. So whatever event happens to make Teotihuacan come about could very likely create an environment for some diseases to emerge or resurface. Diseases that maybe we haven't seen in this country before or haven't seen in generations. You don't see cholera in the U.S., but we see it all over in underdeveloped countries.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things that could reduce us to living like undeveloped countries, like Hurricane Katrina did for a while.
Right, but remember too that Hurricane Katrina was a regional event. Of course, it was a large region, but fairly isolated, where a lot of help was able to come in from the rest of the country. But like you mentioned, if we had to face something like an EMP attack where the whole nation is affected, then that's a lot more serious situation for anyone needing medical help, especially for some of the diseases she mentions in her book. I haven't seen work like this put together that is really as straightforward and easy to understand as this, and practical.
So, you think if someone had this book, it would really help them survive something like bubonic plague, if we saw that take off in our country?
Well, it's amazing how survivable so many of these diseases really are when they're treated. It's when they go untreated is when you see the highest fatality rates. And this book deals with that, and without using modern technology or medicine. Sure, something like that could easily be survivable. At the very least, it tilts the survival odds in your favor dramatically, especially as opposed to no treatment at all.
And this book just focuses on diseases?
No, that's another thing I really like about it is that, for example, let me just flip over here. Starvation. At first I thought, but then I thought that's brilliant. We plan for basic first aid and minor medical treatment in a Teotihuacan situation. But if there's a major event or a breakdown in society, like in the food supply chain, famine, or some other situation where people are starving, you can't just give someone who's literally starving a big plate of spaghetti and meatballs and a loaf of garlic bread. You could really hurt someone by doing that, and a starving person will eat it all if you put that in front of them, but that would kill them.
Hey, I remember reading a book about a guy in World War II who was, he was an escaped POW, and he was with some other guys, and they were starving to death. And I mean, really suffering from starvation. And when they finally reached the Allied forces, they talk about that. They put them on a liquid diet and wouldn't let them have solid foods for, I don't remember, quite a while because their organs were all messed up and actually started shutting down. And I guess they had all kinds of health issues from it for the rest of their lives, some of them.
Exactly. And my husband and I have talked about that. I mean, we're storing food for our family and trying to also store up enough to help others. Obviously, if someone's starving to get death, you want to help them, but there's a right way to do that. So I thought it was a great idea to include that.
Now, you mentioned that she talks about how to treat people without modern medicines, but how do you do that?
Well, she does mention some modern medicines like antibiotics, and she has a doctor that added notes and gives some great additional advice, which is included all throughout the book. But in the back section, she includes several homemade and homeopathic recipes for things like oral rehydration therapy, starvation fluids, saline solution, electrolyte replacer, even emergency baby formula and lice shampoo. It's great. And she includes a shopping list in section 5, which is really helpful.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, and also it's written so that it would be helpful as a reference for someone in the medical field, but also in a way that even a 12-year-old could read and understand it, including baseline information for pulse and respiration, fevers, blood pressure.
But I'm sorry, but it's not the end-all medical book to have, right? I mean, it doesn't cover basic first aid or anything like that, right?
No, but that's not what it's meant to be. It's intended to be a supplemental book to the Prepper Family Library. And in fact, she lists other books recommended for reading, and those books should also be on the shelf.
Like what?
Well, like the books Where There Is No Doctor, Where There Is No Dentist, a book for midwives, and The Bird Flu Preparedness Planner. Of course, I also recommend the Army Special Forces Medical Handbook, and the SAS Survival Manual has a lot of great basic first aid, like wilderness first aid.
Oh, yeah, and I recommend the Boy Scout Manual, too, believe it or not. I mean, that's a classic that should be on every prepper's bookshelf.
Sure. And she also lists ArmageddonMedicine.net and SurvivalBlog.com. And those are great sites to go to for as much in-depth articles on basic and advanced medical care as you're willing to read up on. And also for the listener, you can go through and read all the postings that Enola Gay has put up on the topic as well as at her blog. Really some great information. I haven't even gotten through all of it myself.
So do you want to tell the listeners how they can get their hands on a copy of the Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases?
Of course. I strongly recommend Enola Gay's The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases for every prepper's medical library. And you can get your own copy by going directly to Enola Gay's blog at www.paratusfamilia.blogspot.com. And it's only $17.95 plus $3.99 shipping and handling. And you can either buy it right there on the web or you can send in a money order.
That's right. And just to let the listening audience know, we've included the link to that page in our highlights and resources page for week 7. And that will take you straight to the ordering page. Anya, thanks again for coming in and doing this.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I just want to wrap things up and talk a little about what we have in store for next week, where we'll be picking things up pretty much right where we left off last week. I'll tell you more about that right after this.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Redoubt blog to learn more.
You're tuned in, listening live to Radio Free Redoubt on this beautiful Sunday evening, if you're listening July 17th, 2011. And right before the break, we had our very first on-air guest, Anya, with a brief book review of Enola Gay's book, The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. One thing I forgot to mention is that her book has already come into use overseas in a real-world medical situation, and with success, I might add. You can read about that story for yourself over at the Paratus Familia blog. There were several other stories that I wanted to cover in tonight's news and commentary, but I saved them for next week because they tie into next week's topic, where we'll introduce you to the police state and martial law, what it is, how to recognize it, examples of danger signs and indicators that we're seeing today, indicators that the movement toward a police state are already happening in our country. It's something every citizen should be aware of. You need to be able to recognize it, and we're going to talk about what to do about it. How do you prevent it? And if you get to the point where you can no longer prevent it, what do you do when you find yourself in the midst of it? As I said, tonight's broadcast is about half the usual length of about an hour, but we want to consistently maintain a presence on time every time, even if it's only for a brief update on news and current events. Because if and when Teotihuacan comes, we want you to know that it's the mission of Radio Free Redoubt to be on the air to keep you connected, informed, and encouraged across the American Redoubt. We hope you'll stick around for an old-time radio broadcast of I Was a Communist for the FBI after the show. And then in about 28 minutes or so, we'll be rebroadcasting the same show you just heard in case you missed any of it. Also, don't forget, if you're fairly new to Radio Free Redoubt, I want to encourage you to go to our Podbean player or the Podbean site and listen to all the previous shows so you can get caught up and that'll give you a pretty good idea as to what we believe in and what the goals of the American Redoubt are. We welcome your feedback and emails of support, as well as ideas for topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Let us know. Thank you all again for listening. We hope you found tonight's show useful, especially the interview with Anya, and maybe we can talk her into doing some more of that in the future. You all have a blessed week, no matter where you are in the American Redoubt, in America, and around the world. We're looking forward to being with you again next Sunday, July 24th at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Until then, remember to pray for our leaders. May the Lord bless you, your family, and your home. This is John Jacob Schmidt saying good night.